Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Josh Day.
And we're best friends. And we have another best friend with us today.
Don't we know?
So exciting. Yay!
We have our very dear friend Yara of the Marble Islands.
And countertops. Yes.
Cat.
Oh, and
ow,
my cat.
Ow! Nails in his eyes! Nails in his eyes! Cat.
Go away, Huck.
You gotta go. All right. You gotta go, Cat.
First of all, you're a guy. Sorry.
It's okay. Like,
keeping it real.
How much are you bleeding, Jess? No, I mean, we're it's so nice of you guys to come here to my house with my broken wing.
Yes. That's right.
And which I got punching a bad guy really hard. It broke my wrist. No, I fell off a horse.
I believe the first one.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That is the most sophisticated cast I've ever seen.
It's
by
like
the way.
I feel like Tony Stark.
You do look Terminator-ish.
I do, right? You know, and it's kind of steampunk. I was thinking our friend Anne would love it because it's basically a corset, and you tighten it, and your wrist gets skinnier and skinnier. It holds the bones in place. And I love it, and I can take it off and shower, which is the most important. And scratch, you know, because you know how itchy a broken wound is.
You know what I love about that is I've had a cast on my leg years ago, and I would do the wrong thing, which is take a hanger and unbend it. But then when they took the cast off, the hair was so long, and the skin that was there.
Just a week. Yeah. I rubbed my cat again. I'm going to put him outside.
It's like so. It's a white yet flaky yet moist.
Yes. I've had that. So I like Kristen's cast because it has the ability to come off, so you can be clean, and then your limb is not that skinny version of itself once you take the cast off. You know, once they take it off. I do like her cast. I think it's really cool.
It's inspiring. It makes me want to have a cat.
Does it really?
Because she looks just the right amount of badass.
Yeah.
And not hobbled by it.
Elegant, yet injured.
Yes.
Vulnerable, yet strong.
Yes. All of those things.
So, we brought Yara in because we got a special letter.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that Yara is in a unique position to address it. So, we're going to tap you for your help and wisdom. So why don't I get right to it and read it?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes.
Dear ladies, I am writing to you about a friend of mine. It comes from a place of concern and consternation. I met Abigail, not her real name, a few years ago at an art talk at my local museum. I think it had something to do with reality and illusion and M.C. Escher, but I can't remember. She was cool and funny and also loved attending all the fun events museums put on from time to time. Sometimes we'd bring along our husbands to the beer tastings and the live music. I was glad to meet a new friend who was interesting, refreshing, and different from my stale, boring group of friends who liked to talk about other people behind their backs and never did anything wildly out of the ordinary, let alone cultural. By the way, thank you for all the advice in previous podcasts about that.
You are welcome.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks for listening. Abigail is smart and witty and appreciates my humor. Eventually, our friendship expanded outside the walls of the museum, resulting in an invitation to come over to her house for coffee and fresh baked banana bread. She said she'd give me the grand tour of her house and gardens. I jumped at the invite. I love seeing other people's homes. Me too. Their tastes and styles, I could only imagine how cool and funky their house would be. Maybe I'd get some ideas for my own spaces. Anyway, I bought a glass garden ornament, one that measured rain and caught the sun's rays and colors of iridescent blues and greens. I knew Abigail would love it. After all those times we popped into museum shops, admiring the coolest of objects and unique gifts, I was really looking forward to it. What I experienced next is in no way a judgment of her. As I said before, I am seeking your advice out of concern because I do not know how to proceed. I arrived just after 10 a.m., making sure I called before leaving my house. Oh, sure, come on over. I just took the banana bread out of the oven, Abigail said. Her house was really cute from the outside. It had a nice tree in the front that cast a lovely shade over the hostas and myrtle in front. The bushes were a little scraggly with some branches reaching into the shutters of the windows. I noticed a beehive was spilling from the slats. I'd better tell her about that. I went up the three concrete steps and rang the doorbell. When she opened the door, the first thing that I noticed was the smell that enveloped me.
Oh, dear. And it wasn't fresh baked banana bread?
It was stale, old, and heavy.
Oh,
kind of like your grandmother's basement.
Oh.
She invited me in and told me to make myself comfortable. Looking around, I noticed only two available places to sit. One was at the end of a once pale yellow couch, now more of a yellowy with gray stains. Two-thirds of the couch had so many things stacked on it. A large cardboard box with clothes spilling over the top, some knitting, a large empty bowl with a few popcorn kernels in it, and a sleeping dog, probably the culprit of the stains. The other chair had stuff on it, too. A toolbox, a stack of mail, newspapers, fuzzy bathrobe, and one work boot. You are probably getting the picture. As I looked around, I could tell that this was how the house is every day, not just in the middle of an unfinished project, such as purging the closets or rearranging the furniture. I followed her into the kitchen. The window above the sink was opaque with grime and splatter, the counters jam-packed with food stuff. Again, not the middle of a grocery shop. Pans were stacked on the stove, clean and unclean. The small kitchen table had some crumpled, used napkins on it and looked like it hadn't really been wiped down from dinner the night before. There was ketchup still on the table and an open package of hot dog buns. I put my best poker face on and told her how good the banana bread smelled. Nice save. But she reached into the fridge to grab a nearly empty bottle of milk. The kitchen filled with a new odor of sour cheese.
Oh, God. Oh, fridges are gross to begin with.
You like milk in your coffee, right? She asked. Black is just fine, Abby.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to cut back on dairy these days.
Oh, yes.
Really fast thinking letter, right?
Well done.
I perched on the gray spot for the next hour, trying to not to let my gaze wander around the room too much. But I could definitely see the dirt, the film, and the grime. I didn't want to think about what was living and growing in the carpet. Her dog started to scratch and chew at a spot on his rump. I put my hand over my cup.
Oh, my God!
It was a pleasant enough visit, though. Talking about the museum, something specific. But I just couldn't get over the disconnect I had about the preconceived notion I had of my friend's home. I don't want to judge her. I am more concerned about the health factor. I do not wish to go back there. Part of me wants to clean and rearrange and help her just kickstart the basics, but I am afraid that I could cross a line. I really like her. How do I tell her that her house is dangerously filthy? How can I help her to love and easily live in her surroundings? Sincerely, concerned.
I'm shaking my head because I don't. You know, when you go into a house like that, you leave and feel like I should wash my clothes. Maybe?
Wash my clothes and take a shower.
Take a shower
and your hair.
And your hair. Oh, your hair.
Yeah.
This is very delicate. I think
this is delicate and it's very common.
Yeah.
I think because we all, the three of us at this table, have that situation. And Yara, I know you have it, not just with maybe friends, but in your extended family.
Perchance in the extended family. Yes. And I think we are all familiar with those scenarios where, like, you want to go home and clean your house after.
Yeah.
Which I think, but, you know, kudos to your listener, right, for being so observant.
Yeah.
She would fit in good with this crowd, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've had certain experiences where, you know, I'm a very neat and clean person, you guys know.
Yeah.
And Yara, you are too. And Joss, you are when the mood strikes you.
That's true.
So My sister-in-law jokes, like, when she comes over, she's like, oh, are you expecting the photographers? You know, because I'm not comfortable right. in clutter or, and certainly dirt. Like, if yes. my kitchen floor has tomato sauce on it, I have to clean it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave it for a couple days.
Side hustle would be cleaning and organizing.
Yeah.
And I don't think her fans would be disappointed to get a glance inside the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're all getting during this COVID-19 thing
right,
where you
right.
see inside celebrity homes.
And you are very clean and tidy too, but you're also
yes.
like someone who will rip apart a house to make it better.
Yes. I think, you know, clean is comforting to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, to get back to her letter for a second, I think the final suggestion was how to make her love her home or her environment. We don't know that the friend that baked the banana bread isn't perfectly content
I'm sure
with
she
that
is.
Chaos.
Yeah.
That it's just not for all of us.
It's a really interesting phenomenon. Like, you would think that someone who's, like, really together, presents well, articulate, interested in the arts, you know, I'm picturing them at one of these talks or beer tastings or something,
yes.
you know, as like a funky, interesting women with a sense of style maybe. And then you go to their home and you see that, you know, like it's borderline squalor or definite squalor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my mom worked for a woman a long time ago, and she was so well-spoken and elegant, really lovely dresser, very well educated, had her own company, and she lived in deep squalor.
Really?
You
wow.
know, like vermin squalor.
Oh my God.
Cat, like, I remember I had to pick something up at her house once, and she had like piles and piles of empty but not clean cat food tins.
Oh.
And the smell of the house and feces, animal feces and stuff. And I was so stunned that this lovely,
yeah,
intelligent,
right.
together woman could go home to this place.
Right.
Right. But pull it off when she leaves the door that she comes off as this professional.
It's an interesting thing,
it
though.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like two different people, really.
It mm-hmm. is.
And she also seemed quite unaware, this woman, of like what I would consider the common response to her home, which is horror
right.
and
yes.
and dismay. Just
right.
like, how can you live here? Should you live here? Should your house be condemned?
Mm-hmm. Yes. What's the air quality like in there?
Right,
oh
right.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was also a pet hoarder, you know, with, like, innumerable cats, goats.
Can you imagine ceiling fans, like the tops of ceiling fans,
you know,
cabinets?
Yeah.
Stop. You're killing
We're
me.
We're all getting really...
You're killing me.
So, and... You know, like we all know that person. We all have somebody like that in our life, whether it's like your mother-in-law or a cousin or something like that, where you think, I would never guess that you would be happy here.
Yes. Or that you would invite people into it.
Right.
Not
yeah.
kind of imagining you've got all this sitting space but for two cushions. I had an uncle. Can I share a story?
Sure,
please
quick?
Do, yeah.
He lived out of state, and basically he lived across the country, opposite coast. So nobody really knew what his living environment was like. And my husband was on a business trip, so he went out to L.A. That's a code for a place on the West Coast. And my uncle had said, oh, you got to stay with me when we're out there. When you're out there. So my uncle was a bachelor. He's a collector of certain kind of musical instruments. And at that point, he was probably a 50-year-old man.
Okay.
Yeah, okay? A divorced 50-year-old man. And so my husband goes to the apartment. And my uncle says, okay, you're going to sleep in there. There was bunk beds.
Oh.
Bunk beds only,
oh.
which makes you wonder further. How does this bachelor guy ever get a hookup? There's these damn bunk beds covered in guitars.
Okay.
He couldn't sleep on them. So he cleared one off for my husband. And I mean, and there were like piles, as my husband told the story. You kind of had to walk down the little hallway. And he said to him, where are you going to sleep? because the sofa was covered, everything was covered. And again, we just didn't know, because when he'd come to town to visit, he was the fun guy.
Yeah,
we had a ball, we'd go out, we'd do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he had three cushions from some other rando piece of furniture that he would lay on the floor.
Oh my God.
Between the piles.
Oh my God.
And again, it makes you wonder, how did this guy get any ass as a middle-aged man in a hoardy environment?
They went back to her place.
They had to.
You know,
yeah.
They had
place.
To do it. But it was an eye-opener, kind of much like your lovely listener.
Yeah.
It was an eye-opener.
I did a little research on this because I imagined that there's something, like some disconnect, something
yeah.
off if in the case of Abigail, not her real name, that she doesn't think that there's anything wrong with this.
Right.
And, I had an experience like that, too, where I had invited a friend to stay with me years and years ago. And, you know, in my tidy, spiffy little house with clean sheets on the bed and fresh towels. And then I went to stay at her house, and she was a hoarder. So it's like one up from squalor, where we had to wind our way through boxes and piles. And I remember thinking, like, I wish I could walk without my feet touching the floor, because the floor was so mysterious and scary. And I thought, like, you've been to my house
mm-hmm.
and, you know, stayed with me, and now you've invited me here. And has it crossed your mind that this is not normal? And I don't think it had.
Yeah.
But it's normal for them.
It is. It
might not be normal
right.
to
because
us.
As I've said to you earlier, I feel like I'm just a lazy person when it comes to house cleaning. But I do get to a point where I get very itchy. Like, things are out of place.
Yeah.
It's very chaotic. And then I'll do this massive... This is my problem. I should clean as I go. But I'll do a massive clean that will take, like, a whole day and, like, put me in, like, having to... run an Epsom salt bath and all that. But I do get tired of the chaos.
Right.
Like Yara was saying, how do you live with all of that chaos and then leave your house and, you know, at your job, particularly if you have a demanding job, you have to be very organized. I have to be very organized in my job. I can't have chaos around
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So I don't, you're right. There's a huge, huge disconnect.
And I guess that Abigail doesn't think of it as chaotic.
Mm,
like,
right.
she knows which piles have which stuff. Maybe she thinks it's comfortable, laid back. it shows
there
like,
was a purpose for that one boot.
Right.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. I do. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I understand that you don't want to throw things away. You think you may later be able to use it somehow.
Yeah.
But this has certainly gone... beyond that, yes.
Yeah. Well, the reading that I did said that if you're living in like an unhealthful squalor, where you're not sure if your food is good or clean, if you can't find a clean place to sit, if your floors are sticky, you know, the air quality is possibly poor because of the number of pets you have or whatever,
right.
Then it usually is a sign of depression.
Yeah.
So, and according to the literature, it seemed like a lot of people who live in squalor or start to hoard have some kind of trauma that happened to them. Death of a loved one.
Right.
Maybe something violent happening to
divorce.
Them. Divorce
yeah.
can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, divorce. You know, an abusive relationship
mm-hmm.
where things take on... more of a meaning than their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this frying pan I need,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
even though I have so many other frying pans, I'm going to keep this one, even
mm-hmm.
though it's dirty, you know, and chipped and not safe. I'm going to give me cancer, right? I'm going to keep it because you never know. And that's not normal. That's not a sign of someone who wants a frying pan to use for a frying pan.
Right. Yes.
Someone who she's building up her walls of defense in terms of junk.
Right.
And, you know, we've maybe watched the hoarding shows.
Yes.
Oh,
maybe
yes.
too many of them. And you're always sympathetic
yeah.
to the person whose house they go into. It doesn't matter that they have bags of feces that are rotting through the
right.
ceiling.
Yeah.
No, you do.
No
you,
matter the how inconceivable it is to the rest.
Yeah, you feel compassion for them because they're stuck, and you think no human should live this way.
Right.
And that, you know, this is the extreme end of it. I watch those shows too.
Yeah.
And there's a great series on YouTube. It's a British series, and it's about people who are compulsive cleaners. Yara.
Kirsten. By the way, we have agreed that neither of us have run out of Lysol wipes during a pandemic.
That people were scrambling for Clorox cleanup, not us.
No. They had been procured possibly a year before.
Yes.
Because God forbid we ran out. I had three cans of Lysol on top of it.
Right.
Just because.
Right.
Yes.
They were
so,
on sale
just,
and I had
you,
a coupon.
You, cleaning products is my favorite aisle in the supermarket.
The smell.
Oh, it's lovely. Oh. Yeah.
Excuse me, we're doing a podcast.
Oh,
yes. Sorry.
So anyway, these compulsive cleaners go to a hoarder's house, and they stay for a week.
Love
and they
it.
Each have to learn
that's genius.
To
oh.
help each other.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
find
know,
some
so,
balance there.
Yeah,
that
find some
is
balance.
Genius.
It is genius,
where you don't have to vacuum the air like
right.
some of the people do.
I
you
had
have
a friend whose mother vacuumed her cactus because she didn't give it water. I'm sorry to interrupt you. She didn't water when she was cactus sitting, but she did vacuum it because she was a compulsive cleaner and the cactus could get dusty.
I mean, that's something I guess.
I run my plants underwater to get the dust off, you know, so their leaves don't get dusty. And
listeners, both Kristen and Yara have been at my house on their knees. Scrubbing my floors. Hands and knees.
It's the only way to get a floor clean.
No. Swiss all right, I'll let it go. They do what
but
they gotta do.
But getting back to, like, when you have a friend who has this issue and seems unaware of it, I think the obvious answer is there reason to be concerned about her mental health?
Correct.
And then how do you bring that up?
Yeah.
So in Abigail's case, it seemed like she was pretty together.
She invited the listener over.
She,
yeah,
you know, she has a social life. She's interesting. She's, I think, in the letter writer's case, concerned. I think your answer is just don't go to her house anymore.
No, you can't go to her.
Just
I was going to say the same thing.
You know, that's
go out.
That's an easy thing.
Yeah, don't you got to go out because she invited you to the house, thinking, oh, it'll be great. I'll have our letter writer there, and we'll have banana bread, and it'll be lovely.
Yeah.
She didn't even consider for a moment that her house is this disaster,
right.
and she
yes.
didn't want someone else coming into that.
And to be fair to Abigail, we don't know what concerns standards are when it comes
of
to
course.
Housekeeping.
Of
you
course.
Know,
right?
but,
I think a good takeaway too is you never want to go into somebody's refrigerator. Unless they are like-minded in the clean game,
true.
You don't know what lurks in a refrigerator.
No, I agree.
They're
I agree.
Nasty.
Yes.
Unless you're, like, really compulsive. Refrigerators tend to be gross.
You know, the people that get rid of replenished condiments, like, every 6 months. Who does that? Nobody
not,
does that.
Yeah,
excuse me. Wait, raising my hand.
I'm sorry. I've tried to organize your spices.
Yes, I know the spices. But inside, look, I have spices. I have a weird vinegar thing. I know about all of those things, but the inside of the refrigerator, I'd rather have it empty than have anything that's past the expiration.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm forever throwing things out.
I think you are the queen of gut health with all those vinegars.
Yes,
so
I have a lot
Josh.
Of vinegars.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're down to, what, like 10 bottles?
I do need some
apple Kristen streamlined
that. No, you don't. Anyway. So I would say for concerns... case, I would just not discuss anymore.
Okay.
If you become closer friends and she ever brings up a depression or hints of depression, you might say, you know, I wondered about that when I went to your house, which seems like it might be overwhelming you.
Yeah.
Have you looked into professional organizers or having a cleaning lady or, you know, asking for help? You know, I personally love to clean. I would love to come and do it. And that's something that I've done for a few friends.
Same here.
You know, I have a friend who self-identifies as a hoarder, and she was moving, I guess, like maybe 12 years ago, and she asked me to come help her get rid of stuff because she said, I can't do it on my own. And so, you know, I was throwing stuff away, and she was taking stuff out of the garbage bags.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't dirty. It wasn't, you know, mice running and pooping, and it wasn't like that. It was just she had way too much stuff. She couldn't get rid of things.
Right.
And And I, you know, I think that, I'm just speculating, her childhood made her cling to things more than maybe your average person. Mm. But I think that when it starts to be something that is, like, one of the hoarding shows is called Buried Alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
When it starts to be overwhelming to the person
right.
who's living in that house, and she starts to talk about it, that's the time to offer help.
Right.
And if she doesn't want it, don't force it.
I agree. Just go somewhere else. Just,
yeah.
you know, go out to dinner, go out to drinks.
That seems
coffee.
Like an easy fix because you are still getting to know each other.
Yeah.
So there could be so many other things
right.
to meet up at.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Could stay clear of the house. And I did have a therapist tell me once that, you know, just because that nuclear family or family member has stuff all over the place, you don't have to clean it when you go there. So I don't think concerned is at that point.
Right,
but,
right.
But we've talked about this as a group that, like, that's my issue.
Yeah.
That's not nuclear family members' issue.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And if anything, she just gets pissed off when
right.
I go in there and I
yeah,
start wiping
right.
down cabinets.
I have an extended family member like that. And every time I go, I want to be helpful.
Yeah.
And I want to organize. And I think, like, oh, my God, look at the number of, like, essential oils and supplements and vitamins. And this is my father-in-law.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, this is ridiculous. He is a hoarder of
uh-huh.
some kind. You know, he won't get rid of any papers from Ireland and stuff like that. And I think, you know, that you shouldn't have to live this way. My lovely mother-in-law shouldn't have to live this way. But at the end of the day, it's not my problem.
Right.
It's not. And you might organize those essential oils like a boss, Kristen. Like, they'd be alphabetical.
Yeah.
My expiration date.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, the next time I went, it would be exactly the same.
Yeah.
Well, and that happened to a colleague of mine. She had a friend who needed help packing up her house to move. And my colleague went there and... oh my God, called a few other people to come help. It took them three 8-hour days to throw everything out and put it in U-Haul so this person could drive to California. The next year, my friend was out in San Diego on business and decided to visit her friend and was back, all back.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was all back.
Yeah, I think that
wow.
without the psychological work
yeah.
of why do I keep so much or why do I let my house get so deep down filthy and why is that okay with me, or is it okay with me? Until the person does that work,
yeah.
there's no point in going and saying, I'm going to clean and organize for you.
Yeah.
Because,
right.
like, even though I love to
right.
do that,
yeah.
If it's going to last a week, that's time better spent elsewhere for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's you getting your fix. They just want it back to where it was.
Yeah.
yeah.
They
I think
want
that's
that
a really important
tool
to
on
yeah.
the sofa.
One
yeah.
of my friends, I'd say we're opposite ends of the spectrum with organization and cleanliness. And she, you know, I said to her in an honest conversation, you know, that it made me anxious to be around a lot of clutter.
Yes, thank you.
And this was when actually we were away for the weekend. Remember?
I don't remember that.
We went to New York. And I finally, like, broke on Sunday morning, and I said, it's really getting to me, the clutter. I can't
yes.
keep cleaning,
yes.
you know? And our mutual friend said, you know, I'm glad you said something. We can do better. And also, like, my level of tidiness caused her anxiety that
yes.
I was always wiping down and cleaning up and putting away, which is my way.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
my nature to do that.
Absolutely.
And so, like, we could never live together. You know,
no. Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah,
you would not
yeah.
be. I don't
yeah.
think.
So concerned. I think you have your answer from us.
Yeah.
I would keep an eye out. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb as a non-mental health care professional
mm-hmm.
and just say, I think there's something off when people live in very dirty homes.
Agree. Yes.
You know, untidy, sloppy, need to clean up, don't clean up enough. Those are all perfectly
mm-hmm.
acceptable. But when you get down to grimy,
mm-hmm.
film, greasy, dirty,
yes.
I wonder if there's not something off. And and when Abigail might tell you about it.
Right.
She might do it in a backhand way, like, you know, I know you noticed my house.
Right.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I guess that might be a point where you can say, yeah, I did. I mean, happy to help if you need that. But I don't know that I would push it any further.
Yeah.
Because I agree with Kristen. I think there's something more going on.
Yeah.
Beyond concerns, abilities. There's
right,
a lot more
right.
going on.
And if Abigail's not going to acknowledge it, don't you acknowledge
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's
if
not
you
your business.
You want to keep the friendship.
You're
yeah,
not a
yeah.
therapist, or
yeah.
I don't think you're a therapist,
right.
you know. But it's I think it's really interesting that two people could have so much in common
mm-hmm.
and then have these,
mm-hmm.
like, have that shock
mm-hmm.
of how she
and
lived.
And the wafting smell when she opened the door. But I'm really curious about how was that banana bread? You know, was it fresh?
Did you eat it?
Or did you just push the crumbs rot on a napkin that she pulled out from under a bag of cat litter and like some popsicle sticks that were stuck to it?
I don't know. I gotta say, I'm not sure after the milk that she decided to have black coffee. I don't know if I would have done the black
coffee.
Yeah.
Or sipped the coffee.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's Starbucks from now on.
Oh, I just picked it up on my way. You didn't have to fuss.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And
we're
best friends
forever.